which follow the verses which talk about fasting in the Quran. We've all heard those verses by now, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, and all of the following verses which talk about the excuse of a person traveling, sick, and so on, and rulings related to that. Following that is some verses which took place after an incident took place in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and he said that he had done something wrong. In the morning he came to the Prophet ﷺ and some Sahaba was sitting there, and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, I've done something wrong, and he was crying. What was that thing wrong? First of all, we need to understand what the ruling was in those days. So prior to what we have now in terms of the allowance to eat at night, to drink at night, and to have intimacy at night, the ruling was for the Muslims at that time that as soon as Isha prayer was done, then nothing was allowed. So basically, the only time that they had to fulfill whatever they needed was between Maghrib and Isha. After Isha, they went to sleep. After Taraweeh or whatever they did, they went to sleep, and no more food, no more drink after waking up. So this was the ruling. However, this incident took place, and the purpose of the talk is to kind of highlight that even the mistakes of the Sahaba, they ended up as a mercy for us. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I went to sleep after Salatul Isha with my wife, and he said, فَوَجَدْتُ رَائِحَةً طَيِّبَةً, and I smelt something good, meaning she was smelling attractive to me, فَسَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي, and she basically became a means of seduction for me, and I did what I did. So, Ya Rasulullah, I've made this mistake, what should I do? And he was crying and very upset at what he had done. So, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and he said this, a bunch of other Sahaba stood up also and said, Ya Rasulullah, we've also made this same mistake in the past, so we need some kind of resolution. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed these verses which come up. And at the same time, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said that you were the most worthy of the one that these verses would be revealed for. And as you probably heard before, that there were many verses revealed which were in accordance with the will and the desire of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, known as Muwafiqatu Umar, meaning those ayat which corresponded to the intention of Umar, or what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted. Amongst them was the ayat of hijab. So this is along the same lines that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he presented himself, and then in accordance with what he wanted, these verses were revealed. So we'll go through the translation and interpret slowly, inshallah. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that al-rafath has been made halal for you on the nights of fasting. What is al-rafath? According to the Mufassireen, كُلُّ مَا يُرِيدُهُ الرِّجَالُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, whatever men desire from women, that is known as, in one word, it's summarized in one word, as a rafath. And this also found in the verses related to Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٍ فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجُّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. When a person is in the state of ihram, then he cannot engage in rafath. Rafath means any talk or any thought of desire, even with one's wife. If one's wife is in hajj with him, in the state of ihram, no talk of romance, no talk of desire, anything like that is prohibited while being in the state of ihram. So that same word rafath is used, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that a rafath, desire and being close and intimacy, all of these things are permissible for a man at the time of, in the nights of fasting. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ رَفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. Meaning to go close to the women has been made permissible for you. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. They are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. This is a very beautiful example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving by using terminology, metaphors to show the closeness of this relationship. So the closest thing to our body is what? It is our clothing. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this relationship of husband and wife is just like the clothing on the body. That's how close it is. Or it refers to the actual act of intimacy, that the closeness becomes just like the clothing on the body, that the husband and wife are so close to each other, it's just like the clothing on the body. And also, when a person is feeling cold or when he's feeling afraid, what does a person do? He wraps himself up in a blanket. As we know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he do? When he came down after seeing Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, you know, cover me up, meaning with a blanket. So Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha covered him. So when a person is afraid or cold, you know, he needs some kind of comfort, what does he do? He wraps himself up in something warm. So this relationship is such that in difficult times, it becomes just like the clothing on the body, that a person seeks solace and seeks comfort in that relationship. And another interpretation of this verse is that the relationship between a husband and wife is that just like the clothing, it hides the blemishes and faults on the body. Similarly, the husband and wife are supposed to hide their faults from the outside world. You know, it's become very common nowadays to even put some stuff up out on social media that, okay, my husband did this to me and I'm mad at him and I'm upset at him. This is not what the relationship of a husband and wife is supposed to be. If you have problems, you try to resolve them by yourself within the confines of the closed doors, and everybody does have problems. There will always be problems within that marital relationship. The best of the people are the ones that try to resolve those situations by themselves. So this is one of the meanings. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. They are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah knew already that you were making khiyana amongst yourselves, meaning you had these thoughts and you were already engaging in these activities already before this verse was revealed, but He forgave you. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ. تَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ means that forgiveness was done. And afa ankum, not only was forgiveness done, but the sin of doing what you did has been omitted and taken away from your record also. After that, Allah says, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Now, you go close to them. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, this act of intimacy has been mentioned, but it's always used in subtle wording. So bashiruhunna basically means go close to them. And it's this word bashiruhunna is from the word bashara. Bashara, basharatun, it refers to the skin. So when intimacy is taking place, there is skin-on-skin contact. So mubashara, basically touching of the two skins when the intimacy takes place. So falana bashiruhunna, now go close to them. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. This has two meanings. Seek what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. That means that when you are engaged in intimacy, you should be seeking children. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you in terms of children, you should not just have an intention of enjoying yourself. Rather, it should be with the intention of bringing children into the world. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And another meaning of وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ can also mean, just like ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam, it can mean that seek that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has has prescribed for you or allowed for you. Meaning before, this was not allowed. Now, seek and go after something which Allah has now allowed for you. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only relaxed the ruling for intimacy, He also now relaxed the ruling for food and drink. So a person can now, he can eat all the way up until dawn. Just like he can engage in intimacy all the way up until dawn, also eating and drinking has been allowed. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And eat and drink until until the white string emerges from the dark string at Fajr time. So what does that mean? The white string emerges from the dark string. It means that if you look onto the horizon where the sun is about to rise, before dawn comes in or before sunrise, you will find a light which is emerging in a horizontal way. This is known as Subh Sadiq. This is Al-Tulu' al-Fajr al-Sadiq. And this is the time that Fajr time begins and the Suhoor time ends. And there's a difference of opinion about what the exact timing that occurs. There's discussions that take place amongst the fuqaha. There's the 18 degree rule and the 15 degree rule. Some people ask me this question, how come there's a difference in timings at Fajr? Isna timetable says one thing and our timetable is a little bit earlier, 15, 20 minutes earlier. So why the disparity? The disparity is because of the fact that there's a difference of opinion. 18 degrees refers to the sun's angle below the horizon, and 15 degrees is basically the later time. 18 degrees is earlier, 18 degrees below the horizon, 15 degrees is about 15 minutes later. So that's why there's a disparity in times. There is a difference of opinion about the beginning of Fajr time. Okay, so whatever timetable you follow, best to follow the community timetable so that everyone is united. But like I said, there's a difference of opinion, so don't be confused if you see that. These wordings, يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. This was actually not used in a literal sense. However, one Sahabi, he actually understood it from a literal perspective. So he used to go to sleep with string at night, and he used to see whether he can see the white string or the dark string, and he used to calculate the beginning of Fajr time because of that, until he was told that this is not what is meant. What is meant is the light on the horizon, which is Subh Sadiq. ثم أتم الصيام إلى الليل. Then you complete the fasting until the night. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings another ruling that, okay, you have now understood that it is halal for you to have intimacy at night, but there is a time where you have to draw the line, and that is when you are making i'tikaf. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Do not go close to them while you are in the state of i'tikaf in the masajid. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so do not go close to them. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains His signs for the people so that they could get the taqwa and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, the summary is that we see that even the mistakes of the Sahaba that were committed by them ended up being a source of mercy for us. Just imagine if we, after Salatul Maghrib, we eat and drink, and then we have to run for Taraweeh. There's no time left for anything. Basically, it's a very small time. And then after Isha, no more eating, no more drinking, and all the way until the next Maghrib, we have to stay hungry. So because of the mistake of the Sahaba, we got the mercy for us, and it became easy for us. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.